You're listening to The Roofer Report, the ultimate podcast for roofing professionals, business owners, and entrepreneurs. Get insider access and hear about the highs, lows, and tales of triumphs from thriving business owners. Brought to you by Roofer, hosted by Pete McKendrick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Roofer Report. I am your host, Pete McKendrick, and happy to be back here again with another Roofer of the Month. This has been a fantastic series for us. We started it last year. Just some incredible stories about some roofers and how they've gotten into the business and how they've built their businesses up and some of the challenges that they're facing. So some really, really interesting stories. No one grows up wanting to be a roofer, right? So that everyone has usually a colorful background as to how they got into the roofing space. And so it's made for some great stories and no exception here. We're super excited for April Roofer of the Month to have Lisa Coates from DeLeon Roofing, DeLeon Affordable Roofing out of Halifax. I mean, we've mostly had roofers from the States here. So Lisa's in a completely different area of the country here for us to talk about. So that'll be an interesting topic. Talk a little bit about her season and stuff. But welcome, Lisa. Excited to have you on.
Well, thank you.
So Lisa will be our April Roofer of the Month. So we're very excited about that. Lisa, give us a little bit on your background. How did you get into roofing?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I was a general contractor. And like most, I was wearing too many hats. And a result of it was I was diagnosed with stage 3B cancer. Oh, wow. At the time, Lloyd DeLeon, the owner of this company, was one of my subcontractors. So when I went through treatment, came out on the other side, for him standing by me, I said, hey, I will help you take your business to the next level if you would be so kind as to employ me and trust me with your company. So I started with him in 2020 as a consultant. And then over the past 5 years, I've gone from consultant to project coordinator, project manager, and now operations manager, and now I'm director of operations. So there's been a heavy shift in my role and my knowledge of roofing, and it's been a pretty positive experience.
Very cool. How big was the company when you came into it?
Basically, it was Lloyd, a truck, a couple of men. Barely. We all hire them. You know, they're good for a few hours. And then by 3 o'clock, you have to get them off your roofs. So it was, he was doing the best he could with what he had.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about roofing in your area. Like obviously, you know, you're probably the most unique roofing case we've had as far as just where you guys are located. Talk a little bit about where you guys are at for people that don't know where Halifax is at. And then how does that compare to what we're used to here in the States? You know, like we've talked to a lot of people. Amanda Vinot was one of our roofer of the month. She's in the Northeast. Just kind of describe what you guys are up against up there and what and exactly where you are for people that don't even know where you're at.
Okay, so just to clarify, I am not in Halifax, Massachusetts. In fact, I am in Canada. I'm in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So we are northeast of Maine, and our climate for roofing is typically mid-March through 1st of December. We did have a complete roofing season that we were able to go 12 months, but the norm, I don't plan for that. Our climate is usually mild winters, but recently with climate change, we've had some polar vortexes like everybody else, heavy rain one day, freezing the next day, 6 feet of snow the following day, you know, so it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. So it's really important that we do have all the systems in place that when our season opens, we can maximize our profits and be able to forecast and meet our targets.
Yeah, so that is interesting. What are some of the challenges that you guys have faced as you've grown? What do you see as some of the bigger challenges? You know, when you got in here, Lloyd was essentially running this business by himself, more or less a one-man show with a crew, right? You guys have evolved a good bit over the last couple of years. And so what are some of the things that you guys have run across that have been hurdles to get over, more or less, you know, as the business has grown?
Okay, so when we first started, Lloyd was doing what typically all roofers do in the beginning. And even some carried on year after year, which is they go to a certain spot and they're like, who wants to work today? And they load them onto their truck and off to the roof they go. So that model was good probably until COVID. It wasn't sustainable. It wasn't reliable. It was, if anything, I thought very broken. One of our biggest hurdles between him and I was I had come from a business background, and I knew that we had to shift how we were installing, how we were hiring, how we were vetting people. So I cleaned house and I terminated everybody after a season and started vetting for just subcontractors. Vetting the subcontractors is a process in itself because everybody says, yeah, I got a truck and I got a crew and I got this and I got that. You got insurance? What do I need that for? Yeah. You got insurance. I don't need insurance. And I'm like, okay, bye-bye. So, you know, vetting the subcontractors, and that includes calling the other companies that they're working for. And I have an application process that's in our portal on our website where they can let me know, are you registered with the Registry of Joint Stocks? That's the Canadian version of basically, are you a legitimate company? Yeah. Licensing up here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you legit? Do you have a tax ID number? What is your tax ID number? Who is your insurance company? What's your WCB? Give me three references. If you're new to being a subcontractor, who were you working for? You know, so that was the aha moment for Lloyd when he saw, because he always thought, like most roofers, that if you employ subcontractors, you're not going to make as much money. Trust me, you will make as much money, if not more, because you have more experienced foremen on your job sites overseeing their men. But hey, there's a caveat to that. You have to watch your subcontractors because sometimes your subcontractors are trying to get real slick and subcontract their work to another subcontractor that doesn't have all their paperwork. You know, the most important is to vet your subcontractors and have a lot of systems in place, including transparency between the both of us. When they sign, first of all, a non-compete with us, because that's very important to have that. And then second, the subcontractor agreement. So there's no signage, there's no soliciting our customers, there's no handing out their cards. They have to put, we have banners. We have 20-foot by 30-foot banners that go across the front of the house that say Dillion Affordable Roofing. So that goes on first thing when they arrive. So we have systems in place to kind of protect ourselves. Because we've been victim to subcontractors who had subcontractors on site. So when the neighbor came over and asked for a card, the subcontractor gave out their card. And then the homeowner was like, wait a minute, I thought we hired Dillion Affordable Roofing. Who's Joe's Roofing? And it wasn't the subcontractor we hired. So that was a kerfuffle. And then training. Software. Okay, so back to transparency. When all the paperwork is taken care of, we send over, we even have our health and safety is subcontracted. We send over a health and safety person. He does a hazard and controls assessment. We put that in a portal. We use roofer's measurements, and that's put in a portal. And then it is sent off to the subcontractor who can see the roofing measurements. So there's no discrepancies about how many feet of hip, how many linear feet of drip edge, how many rolls of ice and water, whatever. We pay by the square. And then we have tiers. So if it's a 412 to a 612, that's tier one. If it's asphalt, they get paid X. If it's metal, they get paid X. If it's rubber, they get paid X. If there's hip, we give them a surcharge. We pay them extra $2.15 a linear foot for hips, because it's time consuming, it has to be done by hand. Same thing with the ridge, we pay them by the linear foot for the ridge, but there's no discrepancies. When they submit their invoices to us once a week, we can go through, compare it to what the measurements were on the roofer report, and everything checks off. We had to get smart because we were using so many subs that we implemented the company cam. So when they arrive, they go in, they do a checklist, and they meet the homeowner, they walk around the perimeter, they identify any damages, it's all documented with pictures. All of this is actually in the portal too. A lot of times before, even between the roof report and doing the install, there is an inspection. So the men, whoever the subcontractor is, he goes over, he does a roof inspection. That is put in the portal and is sent off with the proposal to the homeowner, which is a game changer at squashing the competition, because we've done our inspection, we provided the photos of the roof, we've given them options because we give them three different or four different options to choose. And we've given them all the information on the different materials, their warranties, their colors. We give them a link and testimonials, a link to our testimonials, and then a page of testimonials. We've given them so much. Roofer really is out of the box, forward-thinking company that's helped elevate our company past the competition. And a little old Halifax, Nova Scotia. Yeah.
Well, but I think what you're talking about here is really interesting, because more and more, I think in the last couple of years, we've seen these moving away, like the style of a company, of a roofing company, moving away from the guy who started as a, you know, nailing shingles on a roof when he was 15 and has just worked his way up to owning a company based on reputation. We're seeing more and more roofing companies that are essentially sales and marketing organizations that are then using subcontractors. And so you probably have just explained the most in-depth sales contractor process that I've ever heard, right? And it's interesting because I had a conversation with another roofer not that long ago who said something very similar to, you know, hey, I started out, I was new, I didn't understand, I hired subcontractors, they wanted to be paid by the bundle. He's like, I just paid them by the bundle. Next thing I realize, I got all these extra bundles on jobs because they're over ordering on purpose so that I'll pay them for bundles that they're not going to actually installing. And like all this stuff, they were cutting the shingles open and throwing them in the dumpster so that they claimed they were using them, but they were not. And so that way they were getting paid for bundles that they weren't actually using. So he switched to the same model that you have, which is he pulls the roofer report and he says, here's the roof. You get paid for what the roofer report says. That's it. We don't negotiate on it. It is what it is, right? So, but essentially the same thing, like kind of a learning lesson. And then he had to develop this process. So it's interesting that you guys have done such an extensive process around using the subcontractors, because I think that's not ordinary in this industry, right? To have a vetting process as much as you guys have, you know.
No, we don't make them be exclusive. They prefer to be exclusive with us only because we do probably pay one of the highest in the area. And I do that intentionally because I want quality work. So here's the caveat. There's always caveats with me. So I hire you as my subcontractor, and then maybe I have Matt as another subcontractor. When the job is finished, your job is finished, I'm going to send Matt to do the quality control check on your job.
Interesting.
But Matt doesn't know whose job it is. So he's going to be honest and say, you know, well, I had some shiners over here and, you know, the drip edge was put on backwards over there. So, of course, you have to go back and fix these things. Then when Matt's job is done, it might be a day, it might be a week. I never say when I'm sending somebody. So Matt's not going to be sitting around, you know, he's on another job. I send you over to check his work. So I don't have to leave the office to do all this, and all the photos come in and I see, and it's agreed. I mean, like we're big boys and big girls here. Yeah. But the other thing I was going to say, if you want to continue with an employment model, we did explore that. And what I would say is I would pay them by the square, but I would do my calculation. I do the math similar to what I do with subcontractors and then back out my labor. So my laborers would be paid by the hour. But my lead, who is the shingler, the installer, is getting paid by the square. So he's going to set the pace of how fast those roofs are going on. So you have your installer, then you have one laborer helping the installer. This is for smaller companies. I mean, if you have a large company and you have like 15 people on a roof, you know, good for you. Yeah. But for the guy that we're talking about, who is, you know, the man, one man show, trying to, you know, take it to the next level, go from, you know, six digits to seven digits in a year or 2 years, this is probably the most feasible method I would recommend. Have that second person, that second employee as a shingler, pay him by the square, you know, based on the tier, and then two laborers, one on the ground, one on the roof. And you will, in that year, if you're also doing it, you will double what you did the year before. And you can continue with employees and all that crazy, or you can slowly adapt, bringing in subcontractors until you vet out all of the employees.
Yeah. So how many employees do you guys currently have?
Me.
So you,
we had an outage. It is March right now while we're recording. So yeah, during the regular season, there's usually myself, maybe an admin or a salesperson. That's it.
That's it.
And the owner.
So you guys are running super lean. You're able to run super lean because of the way you guys have set up their process. Right?
Well, that, and you know, we are Dillion affordable. So we can't have a high overhead. So we do that. We have to pass it on to the consumer. And then, of course, we're not going to be affordable. We're going to be Dillion competitive. Comparable. Comparable, right? Yeah. And, you know, like in any industry, there's always a race to the bottom because you have new competitors entering the arena constantly. And the consumers don't understand the difference between quality roofing and a reputable company and somebody that's knocking on their door and saying, hey, I can replace your roof for $5,000. Obviously, that person doesn't know their numbers because their materials are probably going to be that. And the consumer is going to actually lose because once the person that knocked on the door that agreed to this roof for $5,000 orders the materials, gets his crew on there, and does the math, and it's like, holy crap, I'm only making $100. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to pull his crew off of your roof, and he's going to leave your roof with his $5,000. And you will never see him again. Right. And the guys, four people were arrested because they were doing this to multiple people.
Interesting. Now, as you guys have grown here, obviously you've implemented, you know, using Roofer Reports, like you've implemented some other, you know, softwares and stuff. What have you found to be some of the more beneficial things that you guys have done to help keep it lean, keep it organized, and keep it everything efficient from a technology standpoint?
Well, obviously, I'm on Roofer. So using the Roofer Reports was very helpful. We use Microsoft 365.
Okay.
And it's not a shout out to them, but I'm just saying it's an all-in-one. So you can do your power-ups or automations with them. And your calendar, your booking calendar, they have it. It's part of 365. So for, I'm going to say, in Canadian money, $25 a month per person, you're getting good bang for your buck. The second would be the company cam. Mm-hmm. Definitely the company cam. It just blows away the competition. It shows your professionalism. It shows them the before, the after, the during, the checklist. If you want, you can do reports. You're going to have customers. We had a customer last year. We installed the roof in the spring. In November, he said his roof was leaking. I knew it was impossible. We sent a crew out there. We took pictures. And we said, your gutter system has failed because it was multi-level roof. And they had gutter systems on every level. And they were feeding into one pipe and going on to the next level. So 765 square feet of roof was feeding into a pipe that led onto a 1135 square foot roof. And it was just like, it was like opening a faucet.
Yeah.
And then the gutters were backing up and it was just a hot mess. And we told him at that time, you know, go see a gutter person. He didn't want to listen. So with the polar vortexes this year, the winter rolled around and then we had this fast thaw. Again, the ice dams backed up. They thawed and his roof leaked again. Him after us. And I was like, absolutely not. Called in, you know, the manufacturer. They did an inspection. We did an inspection. Gutter people did an inspection and we all came back and we were like, the gutter should have been replaced 15 years ago. We'll help you because we like you with the damage to the roof deck. We'll take that off and we'll help you out with that, but we're not responsible for your interior. And if we didn't have company cam to take those pictures and point those arrows and do all this and have that documentation and photos available sequentially, we probably would have, you know, sat there and gone, oh my God, we did something wrong. We're going to have to fix this and pay for all these damages. So that was a game changer. Another one I would say is PMI, which is Property Map It, I think it is.
Project Map It.
What is it?
Project
Map It, yes. And they can go in with, they say they integrate with Roofer. That was kind of nice. So, you know, your customers can see where you've done projects and see the pictures because they integrate with Roofer, they integrate with the manufacturers, and they integrate with Company Cam. Yeah. So they can see your work, see the photos that you want them to see. And yeah, I guess you're right. We have become a marketing company.
Hey, I mean, that's essentially how it works, right? So.
Well, this is it. Yeah. And then that's the thing, because having Roofer, before we had Roofer, when it was Lloyd and the boys, I was losing my mind as a consultant and being new in the industry. I was like, guys, I need measurements on this roof. And they're like, oh, well, we're doing this. And then, you know, we can't just stop what we're doing and get a measurement for you. And I'm like, so how do you guys make money? I was like, you drive around all, you pick these guys up at 6 o'clock in the morning, drive them to the job site, babysit them till 3 o'clock, take them to the liquor store, buy their cigarettes, drop them off, and then go out at 5 o'clock during traffic hour to look and measure roofs. If you have the right ladder on the truck. Dear Jesus, when do you sleep? Just saying.
Yeah.
No, Roofer was a godsend. It's really elevated our game and taken our company to the next level.
So how much growth have you guys seen over the last couple of years?
I would say 2 years. We saw 200% last year with the approaching recession because we knew it was coming. Interest rates went up. We were actually down 15% of what we did 2 years ago, but we still were able to go over $1 million.
We've talked a little bit about where you guys are at and how you guys have gotten here. And where are you guys looking to go here, let's say just in the next couple of years, maybe 3 to 5 years? What does it look like for De Leon and how do you guys get there? What is the big goal here for the company?
So our vision is to, and because we are such a small company, our 3-year goal is to exceed $2.5 million and to increase our profit margins to 35%. And that's after cost of goods sold and all other expenses. And it's not done with just shingles. Like you know, and I'm not going to take on new services. We're going to continue just being a really good roofing company, but we're going to expand our offerings beyond metal and beyond shingles. We'll probably promote a lot more eco-friendly solutions like EuroShield or anything else that comes out. I heard Gaff was coming out with some solar shingles and certainties looking into the technology. Elon, he took it off the plate, but we wouldn't buy from him anyway.
Yeah,
so we're looking into becoming a little bit more progressive. And we do have relationships with solar companies. So we go in and do the inspections before the solar panels are installed. And sometimes we get a roof out of it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get a half a roof out of it. We don't turn away business. We have relationships with renovation companies, restoration companies, small builders, developers, even large builders, because sometimes now they're doing some peak roofs on the mid-rise buildings. Mm-hmm. So we're able to facilitate that and read the reports because they don't send you roof plans. They just send you a building plan and you have to figure it out.
Yeah. And they're all different. Every one of them's different.
Yeah.
I never understood how architects don't have like a set parameters that they work within. Like every architect does it completely different and their drawings are completely different. Like I used to be a general contractor and it was like, you get plans and it's like, why is this completely different than the last architect we work with? Like, it looks like he just made up his own system of measurements, you know, and it's like trying to decipher his code before you can actually read the print. It was very interesting.
Well, they give you the footprint and then they're like, you know, we're going to have all of these really architectural roofs on top of this roof with just dead space. So we'll have a jog over here and a dormer over there and an eyebrow over here. Yeah. And this one's going to be 412 and this one's going to be 612. But we're not going to tell you really how wide they are.
Yeah.
So then you're like, well, can I have the
more
truss
designers
plan
than they are? Used to run into
and then the reverses and all this other. And I'm like, why? You're just pissing away the customer's money.
Yeah. You're just playing with someone else's cash. It's exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's our 3 to 5 year plan.
Cool.
We would like to increase our profit margins. And the only way we can actually do that is bringing on more, you know, qualified and forward thinking subcontractors that are not interested in chasing customers, but want to be able to work and feed their families and pay their people a living wage or above and become very, you know, because when you pay, you get what you pay for. So you hire people and you're paying them, you know, 20 or 25 bucks an hour. They're not going to give you the loyalty. They're not going to give you their heart and soul. But if you give them opportunities to grow and expand in their companies, and I teach that to our subcontractors, I teach them how to be businessmen, just like I taught Lloyd with my little snippets of wisdom every once in a while. But yeah, help. If you're going to have this model, you have to help your subcontractors grow. So
that's a piece of gold right there, because I think so many times we just think like, oh, I'll just hire subs, you know, and I think there's a lot of things that go into that that aren't taken into account. And then of course the biggest thing is, okay, how do I, when I do finally find a sub that I can trust, who's going to be my go-to person, how do I essentially keep them, right? And how do I keep them loyal, and how do I keep them, you know, as a trusted person that is not going to go, you know, backhandedly try to take my business or something like that. So I think, like you said, being able to help them better run their business and really making them feel like they're part of the vision of what you guys are doing, I think it's just a, you know, it's a huge compliment to what you guys are doing with them, and also some great advice. I mean, because I think, like I said, more and more folks using subs out there and, you know, putting some processes in place. Cause I think before the process was like, you know, I need a roofing sub for next Tuesday. Let me just go find one. Right. Like that's the process. Obviously, you guys have perfected that, you know, and streamlined that to be much more formal of a process, which has allowed you guys to find better subs and, you know, and handle that whole situation better and be covered. Obviously, when anytime you're working with someone that's outside of your company, you want to make sure you're protected though. So you guys have done a really good job of putting those safeguards in place. So some really, really good insight here around using subcontractors that I don't know that anyone has really offered prior to this. So a lot of people that I've done Roofer of the Month interviews with are using subs because they're smaller companies, you know, a lot of times in their first couple of years of business. And, you know, but I don't think, like I said, that anyone has it quite as dialed as you guys do. So this has been some great insight into, you know, how to properly utilize subcontractors.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So anything else that you can think of that you want to talk about that you've been like, if I was a new roofer, let's say in the first 2 years of business, and you wanted to give me some advice, what would you say?
Okay. So if you are a new roofer, first 2 years in business, the first thing I'm going to say is make sure that you have all your men on payroll. And the reason being, if your season is as short as ours, you want to make sure that your men or women will have unemployment during the off season. You got to protect your investment. And if these people are loyal to you, make sure that they're protected and they can feed their families. Training, take any training that's available. And if your manufacturers are only offering training, because some of them you have to have real tough conversations with on a Monday at 12 o'clock, just say, you know, we'll do our best to attend this one, but in the future, can you maybe make it a Friday afternoon after 3? So I don't have to shut down my job to come do training and then get the men back on the job because there's only so many hours in a day. Because sometimes the manufacturers don't think the way we. So encourage your men or women to get their training and get their certifications. In the winter or in the slow season, if you have to lay off people, check with your local employment situation. If you're in Canada, the unemployment here will allow you to bring your people back up to 19 hours a week. So when you're reopening in the spring or starting to slow down in the winter, if you have to lay off Joe, maybe you can bring him back 2 days a week. And between his unemployment and the 19 hours, it will almost equate to a regular check for him. Think of how your people have been loyal to you and what you can do to play forward with them. The next thing I would say is instead of trying to compete with the larger companies for brand loyalty with developers and builders and renovation companies and things like that, with price, kill them with service. Spend a couple extra dollars, implement some of these softwares. If you can, you know, have your nephew, your niece, your girlfriend, your grandmother, whoever help you in the back office to show them that you have the polish and you have the dedication to your company. You're not just doing this just to make a quick buck. And then at Christmas time, instead of trying to, again, compete with the big guys with, you know, bottles of brandy and Dom Perignon, make a donation to a local charity in the name of whoever your supplier is or this builder or renovation company, and they will be mailed a thank you from that charity in their name, dedicated from your company. And that makes a huge impact because it shows the humanitarian side of you. And also, when we do, if we were going to have employees, have at least one day a year that you give your people off so they can volunteer at their favorite charity and pay them for that day that they're volunteering. Because again, it shows that you are philanthropic, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Yeah. And that you care about the community, because a lot of times your employees see you as a man that's making $1 million or a woman making $1 million off of their sweat. And it's not like that. We all know that it's very hard to take your profit margins from 17 to 27 to 37. It's time, it's dedication, it's, you know. And then last but not least, if you're going to build your business off of referrals, come up with a good referral program. A very simple one I don't mind sharing is that if a roof is under, let's say, $8,000 American, $10,000 Canadian, we give out a $200 gift card to a grocery store. If it's over $8,000 or $10,000 Canadian, we give them a $400 gift card to a grocery store. And we chose a grocery store because, as everybody globally right now, we're all impacted by inflation. And I don't care how much money you have, $400 at a grocery store is like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Okay? Keep it simple. Keep your system simple and your business will grow.
Great advice. Yeah. I think the service side of it is huge. And I think like some of the stuff you mentioned goes so far, you know, from a customer experience standpoint, which we preach about a lot, taking care of your employees, community driven stuff. A lot of my friends who are roofers do a lot of community driven activities, and it's just great for their business, right? For their branding, brand recognition, and for their reputation, and for a referral basis, like to just be out there in the community and have this positive image, it helps your business.
Well, this is it. And a lot of times, like the smaller guy, he's like, well, you know, I want to do, you know, put a roof on for a person in the community. You can't afford it. Let's be honest. Look at what your costs are. You know, giving your employees a day off, if you have three employees, you're paying maybe $300 each a day, roughly, $1,000, that's great. And then you're still feeling good at the end of the day because you've helped somebody get a roof on. But you've done it as a community with maybe Habitat for or some other humanitarian effort that's out there, instead of you trying to shoulder it all.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you coming on.
You're welcome.
This has been some great stuff. I think, like you said, I think we dove into some topics that we don't normally talk about. So there's been some great insight, and, you know, really excited to have you as the roofer of the month for April.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing what you guys do here in the next couple of years, and roofers happy to be along for the ride. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time on the Roofer Report. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. Check us out next time on the Roofer Podcast. But until then, be sure to like us, subscribe to us, and check out all our other episodes on YouTube and Spotify.